I invite you to pray with me. Today we thank you, O God, that it is indeed Sunday again, because Sunday is our special day, the day that Jesus was raised from the dead by your power. And so we know this is our day. It is the day you have given to us. This day always stands for new life. It always brings us the promise of new hope, a time of new beginning. This is our day, O God, to grasp for ourselves the power of life over death which you have promised to us, and the promise of hope over our despair, and to welcome the call to choose love over hate. You are our light, O God, and in you there is no darkness at all. So today, we come from many places. But in this place, there is no north or south, east or west, for we are all one in Christ Jesus, through whom you have brought us together. And we all have the same promise, the access to the life, the hope, and the love that Jesus has set loose in our world. We thank you, gracious God, for such a wonder as this, which gives us so much to sing about today and inspires so many ministries among us, which renews our lives, heals our spirits, and enables us to share all that you have made possible for our own humanity with all those who so diligently are seeking you in their own special need. We ask you then, God, to renew us today. Some of us are sick. Some of us are seeking new hope. Some of us are longing for the faith that we can trust in order to live. Renew us by your Spirit now. Touch us, O God, with the insight that we need and with the trust we seek and with the vision for which we hunger. For we are like your people everywhere. We are looking to you, praying and seeking to act in love in your world as Jesus himself did. So we remember our world. We remember our friends and our relatives, those for whom we pray today and who have a special need. And we remember your world and pray for it, and for people everywhere who suffer and who call out for help through you and Jesus. Guide us, we pray, that we may also follow him and be to others as he is toward us. Hear the prayer we offer in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Our first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of prophets, Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 6. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in a land of deep shadows, light, sunbursts of light. You repopulated the nation. You expanded its joy. Oh, they're so glad in your presence. Festival joy, the joy of a great celebration, sharing rich gifts and warm greetings. The abuse of oppressors and cruelty of tyrants, all their whips and cudgels and curses, is done. Done away with, a deliverance as surprising and sudden as Gideon's old victory over Midian. The boots of all those invading troops, along with their shirts soaked with innocent blood, will be piled in a heap and burned, a fire that will burn for days. For a child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. His name will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness. His ruling authority will grow, and there'll be no limits to the wholeness that he brings. He'll rule from the historic David throne over the promised kingdom. He'll put that kingdom on a firm footing and keep it going, with fair dealing and right living, beginning now and lasting always.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, since the beginning of time, the difference between light and darkness had a huge influence on everything happening in this world of ours. When we are engulfed by darkness, uncertainty and fear take hold. And when light breaks through, everything changes and new hope is born. In the Bible, as we are about to see, light is associated with God and the difference that God makes in this world. Just listen how powerful the gospel according to John describes the origin of our Christian faith. So our second reading is from the first chapter, the first 9 verses, John 1. The Word was first. The Word present to God. God present to the world. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. There was once a man, his name John, sent by God to point out the way to the life light. He came to show everyone where to look, who to believe in. John was not himself the light. He was there to show the way to the light. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that you and I become aware of God's presence with us right here in this beautiful sanctuary this morning. Long before the time of the New Testament, prophets of old predicted that eventual triumph of light over darkness. As we heard in the 9th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, the prophet speaks as if it had already happened. In the 9th chapter he says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in a land of deep shadows, light, sunbursts of light." You know, in the days before electrical light, people often had to improvise to avoid being in darkness. And it's not over yet. Many people here and across the world still fear darkness. Darkness in its many different forms. As Christians, we build our entire faith on our firm belief that in and through Jesus Christ, God called us out of darkness into light. Since the time of the Second World War, which was a time of almost impenetrable darkness across the world, this very church of ours, planted by the first space age pioneers, came into being. And since then, this year exactly 70 years ago, our church, this church, joined in with the rest of Christianity to proclaim the message of light. Light as new hope for a world suffering in darkness. You know what? Nothing has changed. Our mission never changed. Sometimes as a church we were faithful to what we believe. Other times we were not. We enter our 70th year humbly, but with faith and with great expectation. Our mission is unchanged. Our mission still is to spread the light. You know, it cost Jesus more to let that light shine than you and I can ever imagine. He actually scared the scribes and Pharisees of his time by shining light into their darkness, by revealing how depraved, false, and dark their superstitions and prejudices were. He also scared the political rulers of his time because he dared to talk about justice for the poor and love rather than hate, light rather than darkness. Who is this Jesus? He was the one who actually looked down upon the Samaritan woman at the well and lifted her up. At times he ate with sinners. At a certain moment he kneeled down to lift up a woman of the streets. Eventually, darkness attempted to extinguish the light that Jesus brought by arresting, by accusing, by condemning, and by murdering him. Oh yeah, the cross of Calvary ended his earthly life, but it was not Jesus, but the darkness that actually suffered defeat. The light kept shining. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Yours. The light cannot be extinguished. Every year at Christmas, we did so a few weeks ago, we symbolically light a Christ candle and then we spread the Christ light. We hold smaller candles in our hands and light them one after the other until all received the light. From one to the other, we still spread the light until all of us carry the light of Christ. That's a discovery that was inevitable. A discovery that the world had to make. Jesus could not be killed. They tried. They did their best. They failed. The light had come to stay, and darkness would rule no more. It was during the darkest days of the American Civil War that a delegation called at the White House with a sad report of the crisis facing America. Lincoln comforted them with this story. "Years ago," said Lincoln, "a young friend and I saw a shower of meteors fell from the clear November sky. My friend was frightened. But I told him to look up in the sky past the shooting stars to the fixed stars beyond, shining serene in the firmament. And I said to him, said Lincoln, let us not mind the meteors, but let us keep our eyes on the stars. Some lights shine as a fixed reminder of a permanent reality. The light that Jesus brought originates from far beyond the stars. And we actually believe that it shines, it still shines, it will always shine from the heart of God. America brought forth another son of its own in the person of Martin Luther King. In his famous speech in the shadow of the Lincoln Monument, he said, we must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protest to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. And that soul force of Martin Luther King refers to the same light that also shines into the American struggle for true dignity and respect for all, irrespective of the differences that keep people apart in our times. Let me tell you that with all the conviction of my life, no person is strong enough to carry both the cross of Jesus combined with a prejudice at the same time. It's one or the other. And that is the heart of our Christian faith. I read a beautiful story of someone who observed something in his basement, something peculiar. He noticed that potatoes had begun to sprout right down there in the darkness in his basement. And they were actually in a basket in the darkest corner of the room. And obviously he was curious. He wondered, how is that possible? How had they obtained enough light to sprout? He was a bit puzzled and he looked around and suddenly he saw it. There was actually a copper kettle hanging on a wall opposite a small window. And sunshine coming in through the window reflected just enough light over into the dark corner where the potatoes were to allow them to sprout. I found it so beautiful. That is our job. That is our calling. That is our task. As Christians, we may not have a great light in the world, but at least you and I can reflect enough light from God to shine that light into the many dark corners around us. No cross, no bullet can destroy true light. God's light that is still shining into the darkness. Are you and I individually reflecting that light like rays of sunshine in the world around us? The example of Jesus Christ is also our guide into a yet unknown future. After all, he is the one who brought sight to the blind, healing to the sick, release to the captives, and a message of peace, salvation, and reconciliation. If you and I carry a grudge against whoever in our hearts and our lives, we've taken space up that belongs to God. Chuck it out. The message of the cross is one of reconciliation between God and this world. And you and I are not passive observers. Even our presence here tells the world who we are, what we believe, and where we are heading into the future. So, what is God really like? We believe that Jesus portrayed what God is really like. Loving, compassionate, merciful, forgiving. And the light is still moving out into the darkness to seek the lost. It is the light of the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes out on the hillside to find the one sheep who is still lost. That is the light of the living God. That is the light that will never, never let us go.